This now is the most important part of this service, praise God. We do got the air going, so I know you're a little warm up there, but does it even work in temperatures like this, the air conditioning? Well, okay, we're still good, all right. Go to Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. It's important for you to know around here that I'm a pastor that endeavors to follow what the Holy Spirit says. The Bible says they that are led by the Holy Ghost are the sons of God. I don't go through the internet looking for sermons. I don't go through my Bible. Any, many, miny, mowing my way through it, you know. I don't, you know, think, well, I had this Christmas service last year. Let's use that again. Now I find out what Lord wants to say because we have a lot of people in here. And to get you under one roof, and this is your help. And I'm just going to tell you something right now. This will be like unlike any Christmas message you've ever heard before. But it will be an opportunity. It will be a gift from your Heavenly Father for your life from this point forward to go in a different direction. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. Praise God. Luke chapter 2, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word. Father, we thank you that your word is good. Your word is true. Father, I thank you that you give me utterance to speak your word this morning. Father, I thank you for boldness. Father, I thank you that what you want said will be said. What you want done will be done. Father, I thank you that my words will not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you I'll hit bullseyes in people's hearts. And what I mean by that, Father, is I'll say something this morning that will be so pertinent to their life. It'll be as if I prepared the message just for them. Father, strike those chords in their heart. May it be a sign unto them of how much you love them, of how much you care for them, of how that you have a better tomorrow for them and a better future. And Father, it's not because I'm anything special. It's not because any degrees or I'm some eloquent speaker, because we know that I'm not, Father. Apart from you, I can do nothing. But Lord, I thank you for the anointing. I thank you for help of the Holy Ghost. And when I open my mouth, you're going to fill it with words from heaven. And it'll be a supernatural experience for people today. And Father, I thank you. We'll get our help this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. Of course, this is the Christmas story here. It's a good place to leap from in our foundation. But if you don't have your Bibles with you, we do have it up on the screen for you. And again, kids, I know it's a little longer for you, but the light's at the end of the tunnel. It's right there. Just hang on. Luke chapter 2 in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth," everybody say brought forth, "brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in a swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger," because there was no room for them in the inn. This was Jesus coming on the scene. Amen. Amen. And you know, if you're like me, you grew up in a very religious setting that it was all Christmas and Jesus comes and yay, yay, yay. But Jesus didn't just come to be the sweet little baby boy so we could sing sweet songs and have Christmas trees and presents. He came with a mission. He came with a purpose, praise God. And the mission and the purpose that Jesus came with is found in John chapter 10 and verse 10. So the Bible says he was born here in Luke chapter 2. But then in John chapter 10 and verse 10, we find the mission statement of Jesus. He didn't come for any other reason than this. How do you know? Because he says right here out of his own mouth, "I have come for this." Don't you want to know why he was here? The Christmas carols are nice, and potluck luncheons are nice, and Christmas presents are great, and decorations are great, but Jesus came for a reason. Amen. And it'll change your life if you know what it is. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." So he says, there's a thief he's trying to take from you. He said, "But I have come." There he is right there, getting out in front of the whole world and saying, "I'm here. This is why I became a baby boy in a manger. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly." Now, what I want you to see today is that's really going to bless you is that word life in the Greek is the three-letter word zoe, Z-O-E. The New Testament was not written in English. It was written in Greek. And if you look up a Greek concordance and see, go to that word life, it'll give you a number. You go to the number, it'll in the Greek concordance, it'll take you to the word zoe. That word zoe translated, this is what it means: the God kind of life. One translation says it this way. He said, I've come to give you life like God enjoys it. Let's give you a little peek inside the life that God's enjoying. It's not a life of poverty. It's not a life of depression. It's not a life of sickness. It's not a life of turmoil. It's not a life of anxieties. It's not a life of worry. It's a life of victory. It's a life of prosperity. It's a life of divine health. It's a life of favor. It's a life of joy. It's a life of peace. And Jesus said, I came for this to give you this. Now I'm going to prove it to you in the Word. Because so many people think that Jesus just came for salvation. And we'll look at that for eternity in heaven. And that's the main reason he came. But he didn't just come for that. And we'll let the Bible do the proving and the Bible do the talking. Because there are many of God's children, many of God's people that are not living the God kind of life. Their finances are a mess. Their bodies are a mess. Their minds are a mess. Their relationships are a mess. Their kids are a mess. Everything's a mess. Turmoil, crisis, all the time. Depression, fear, anxiety. That is not how God's living. And Jesus is wanting us to know at Christmas, I came to give you better. He wants to give you better. And I want to teach you how to get it. It's so simple. So simple. But I want to show you in John chapter 10 and verse 10, through what the thief does, that it's a twofold abundant life that God wants to give you. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's important that you know that Jesus is differentiating himself or separating himself from the thief, because a lot of Christians have God confused with the thief. God's getting blamed for this, this, and this. No, no, no. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's not God. Jesus said, I came to give you life. You say, well, that's what Jesus was doing, but what was God doing? Jesus was only doing what God was doing. Because the Bible says in John chapter 5 that Jesus only did and said what his Father did and said. That's it. He was bound by what the Father did. And so the thief here comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, I want to show you that that's a twofold robbing from you. The devil's not only trying to take eternity or spiritual destruction from you or make that what you walk into, he's also trying to get you to walk in natural destruction. Sickness in your body, sickness in your mind, sickness in your emotions, sickness in your finances. Anything that he can steal, kill, and destroy. But I want to show you that in the Word. Now, go with me real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what this is? This is a gift from your Father saying, come up higher. That's what he's saying. Come up higher. I have better for you. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, we know as Christians, those of us that are Christians, those of us that are not Christians here, we'll give you an opportunity at the end of service. It's free gift, simple. Heaven's easy. But we know it was the gospel that led to our salvation. Without the gospel, we don't know about salvation. And so it says, if our gospel's hid, it's hid to people that are lost. Well, then it goes on in verse 4. It says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. He says he blinds their minds. Why? If he doesn't blind their minds, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, would shine unto them. Well, that's what happened to you when you got saved. When Pastor Mike was in a hunting cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania, on January 10th of 2002, the glorious gospel of Christ shone on me. And I got born again, and everything changed from that moment. Amen. Well, the Bible says that the God of the world, we're in the world. There's a God in this world. And a lot of Christians think that the Heavenly Father's the God of this world. He's not the God of this world. Because the God of this world is blinding people's minds so they can't receive Jesus. Why would God send Jesus to the world and then blind people's minds from receiving him and then also say, I don't want anybody to perish? It doesn't make sense. That little G up there, little God up there, is the devil. I don't have time to teach you. We have series on and online. But Satan acquired the position of the God of this world back in the garden. When God gave authority to Adam and Eve turned the keys right back over to the devil. From that place, the Bible says death or destruction reigned. It took over. It took first place. It took priority. It took the leadership role of the world. And it did. And the Bible says, now that should key you in on when you watch the news and it looks like hell on earth. Let me tell you something. If God's in control, he's doing a bad job. He's got it in a mess. Amen? It's not him. He's not stealing, killing, destroying. He's not partnering with the devil. Round and round they go. No. Jesus said, I've come to get... There's a thief, but I've come to do this. But what I want you to see is that God of this world, that this is what the world offers you because he's in charge of it. He says he blinds the minds of them that believe not. Why does he do that? Well, if he can get people blinded from Jesus, he can keep people from spiritual victory, spiritual salvation. What's he talking about? Spiritual destruction. I don't mean to be so bold on Christmas, but it's in the Bible, so I will. Hell is a real place. Any religion and Christian or preacher that tells you it's just a metaphor, read the Bible. Jesus talked about it a lot. Well, hell is not created for people. Hell was created for the devil and his cronies. We don't have to go there. God gave us an out through Jesus. But the Bible says the devil, the God of this world, will blind people's minds so they can't believe. What's that lead to? Spiritual destruction, eternal damnation. That's the first fold thing that the devil wants to do. That's a spiritual thing. But also go to 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Not only is the devil trying to take your spiritual life from you, hallelujah, and trying to keep you from heaven and mess you up. The devil, he hates your guts. Listen, he's not out trying to stub your toe, trying to give you a hangnail. He wants to utterly destroy and ruin your lives. He is the spirit that is motivating the murderers. The pedophile, all the nasty things that I don't even want to say with all the kids in here, that's the spirit of disobedience, the Bible says, the spirit of the devil. He's not just some fun character that we think, oh, he's just out trying to trip us and make us have just a little bumps on our head. No, no, no. He wants you gone. He wants your life miserable. He wants you depressed, all those things. He wants your natural life to be as miserable as your spiritual existence will be if he can blind your minds all the way through life. How do we know? 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walks about seeking whom he may devour, not whom he can just mess with, not whom he could just cause a little bit of trouble, make it a little bit inconvenient for him. No, he wants to devour you. He wants to devour your bodies, wants to devour your kids, wants to devour your finances. Merry Christmas, Pastor Mike. Thanks for the message. I want to help you. I want to help you. And so, spiritually he's trying to destroy you, but also naturally. Mess your bodies up. Mess your money up. Mess your kids up. Mess your minds up. Now go back to John chapter 10 and verse 10. Well, if the devil has twofold access into people's lives, spiritually tries to mess them up, naturally tries to mess them up, I'm guessing my Jesus has the answer to both. I said, I'm guessing my Jesus has the answer to both. Amen. Did you hear me? He does, praise God. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Look at this. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that's twofold. He wants to take your spiritual life, your eternity, and he wants to take your natural life. But Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly. Well, the first life that Jesus is talking about and the most important life is found in John 14:6. Remember, that word life is the word Zoe. It means the life of God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God is not a natural being. God does not have an expiration date like we have an expiration date down here. He's eternal. The first thing of the life of God that he came to give you was eternal life. Yes, this life might pass away, but this is just the setting stage for the eternity. In the first life, Jesus says, I've come to give you the life of God. What's the life of God? Eternal life. Eternity breathed into you. John 14 and verse 6 says this. It says, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father up there except through me, he says. We know this. We receive Jesus. The Bible says we have eternal life. Isn't that amazing how simple he's made, how loving he is? Doesn't make us jump through hoops, doesn't make us do religious cartwheels. It's not about having perfect church attendance. It's not about being super big givers. It's not about our good deeds outweighing our bad. It's about what we do with Jesus. For whosoever would believe, not go to church faithfully, not, you know, tithe regularly, not be a good person. No, no. Whosoever would believe on him, those people will not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever shall call, Romans 10:13 says, on the name of the Lord will be saved. You notice the qualifications to getting spiritually forgiven and eternity in heaven? Calling on Him. He's merciful. Praise God. That's the first thing. But if the devil's trying to take your spiritual life and your eternity, and God has a remedy for it, it's called Jesus, and the devil's also trying to mess you up naturally, get you into all the wrong things, depression and all the poverty and sickness and, you know, feeling overwhelmed and like you're going nowhere, God must also have an answer for us naturally. Well, this abundant life that Jesus is talking about is also for this natural life. Go to John chapter 10 and verse 10. And Kim Lai, please pull that up in the Amplified. The Amplified is just the Greek translation coming forth. The Greek is much more in-depth language than English language, and English language can't just describe it like the Greek can. And the Amplified, it does what it says. It amplifies. But he says, the thief comes to do that. But he says, I've come that they may have and enjoy life. Amen. Let me tell you something. God in heaven is enjoying Himself. Yes. Amen. The Bible says, at the right hand of the Father are pleasures evermore. Right there are pleasures. The Bible says, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of sadness, the fullness of grief, the fullness of depression, the fullness of poverty. No, the fullness of joy. God is enjoying Himself. And Jesus said, I've come. Now remember, the devil is the god of this world. So as a person that's in this world, until you make the transition over and start learning to receive what God has for you, until you do that, you are going to be stuck being subject to nothing but stealing, killing, and destroying. We're trying to get you out of that. Romans 5 and verse 17 tells us a little different way of how it's in this life. Romans 5:17. Praise God. We're doing it. Praise the Lord, we're doing it. And I'm getting somewhere, and I'm going to tell you something. For those of you struggling in your finances, today's your help. Amen. Jesus came to change that. For those of you struggling in your bodies, I'm here to help you. For those of you struggling in your minds and your emotions, you're depressed, full of anxiety, fears, cares, and worries, today's your answer. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, that's what I was talking about. Adam and Eve messed up in the garden. From there they gave over authority that God had given them to the devil. Death then took over. You know, before the devil, before sin, there was no death. You look at the lifespans of the people in the Bible right from the get-go, they were long. Why? God never intended man to die. It wasn't until death set in. But it says, one man's offense, death reigned. He says, much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. That's the people that get saved, that get born again, that receive Jesus. Look at what your life should look like. Shall reign in where?
Life.
Where?
Life.
He says, my people that have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, the flow for them should be a flow of reigning, dominating, authority. Not being ruled, not being dominated by your money, by your body, by your mind, by things in the world. No, no, no. You're God's child. You are to rule and reign in life. That's what the Word says. That's what the Word says. Hallelujah. Why are so many Christians not seeing it? Why are so many Christians stuck? Why are so many Christians bummed out? Why are so many Christians hating the next day? Why are so many Christians miserable? Why are so many Christians broke? Why are so many Christians dealing with sickness and disease? And I'm up here yapping my little brain off, telling you that He wants abundant life for you. Yeah, well, where is it, Pastor Mike? Let's find out where it's at. Hallelujah. All of you that are saved out there, that received that gift of salvation, it didn't fall into your lap. You didn't wake up saved. You had a part to play. Looking at all of you, you had a part to play. You had to believe in the message. You got faith for it, and you released your faith, and you got saved. It's available to the whole world. The worst sinner in South Dayton, in Cattaraugus County, in Chautauqua County, salvation is one call away. But it doesn't come into them until they do the calling. Well, guess what? your healing, your financial provision, your deliverance, your turnaround, the blessings in your life, they don't fall in your lap. Salvation didn't, and neither will those. You want abundant life? You should want it. Life like God enjoys it. Days of heaven on earth is one way the Bible puts it. You should want that. A life of joy, provision, and peace and healing. Why aren't we seeing it? Well, let's find out. I'm going to teach you how to get it right here. 1 John 5 and verse 18. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18. Everything, I can't even stress it enough, comes down to what we're talking about today. If you don't go forward from this place the right way, what's the right way? The way of the Word. Not what Pastor Mike thinks. Who cares? Or like I like to say, who gives a flutie tootie? Or a rip? What I think matters not what I think. It only matters what the Bible says. And if you want to walk out of here different and go forward different in your life, it's going to be what you do with today's message. I've been sick my whole life. Yeah, but it can change now. I've been broke my whole life. Well, I can change now. Yeah, I've been tormented. Well, you can change now. From this point, it's up to you. Some people will grab this. It'll be the greatest Christmas gift they ever got. And they'll be thanking me a year from now and saying, my life is so much different than last year, Pastor Mike. And some people will go zippity-doo-dah in and one out the other. And a year from now, I'll be dealing with the same stuff, going through the same things. Jesus represented change. He said, I've come to change the status quo. I've come to do something different down here, praise God. To take you out of darkness and transform or change you into light, praise God. But 1 John 5:18 says this. Now remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to give you life. But a lot of people are living the steal, kill, and destroy life. Why is it? We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God or born of God keepeth or guards himself. Now look at this. And the result of the Christian who sinneth not and keeps himself, look at what the Bible says. The wicked one touches him not. There's your devil raid off. You know, raiding off, are they repel things? That's your verse to repel stealing, killing, and destroying. Now I have to qualify something and clarify something for you. When that says, if any man sinneth not, we have to first define what sin is. Because we think of sin as the big words, you know, stealing and murder and all the big heavy hitter words, you know. All sin is categorized just this way. Disobedience to God. Anything that God says to do that one doesn't do is disobedience to God. When he says do something in the word and somebody doesn't do the word, they are now in disobedience to him, which is sin. Anytime he tells you to do something in your heart and you don't do it, you're disobeying God. You've now entered into sin. Because we think to ourselves that we're just big and everything's good and we don't have to worry about it because we're the big things. We're not doing the big things. We're not hitting the real heavy sins and we're okay. No. If you're disobeying the word of God, you are in sin. What does that mean? If you're in sin, guess what? The wicked one can touch you. Why don't you want the wicked one touching you? Because he's a stealer, a killer, and a destroyer. This is why it's so important that we don't walk out of the boundaries of God's word and walk over into sin. And let me tell you something. Even if you don't know what God's word is, ignorance does not save you. The Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Jesus said if you know the truth, you'll be set free. He didn't say the truth will set you free. He said known truth will set you free. And the Bible says the wicked one, if we sin. Well, what's sin? Remember, anything God says to do that we don't do invites or opens the door for the stealer, killer, and destroyer to come in and wreak havoc on us. What's wreak havoc on us look like? Sickness, disease, poverty, things in our children, things in our minds, things in our bodies, things in our emotions. I don't want that stuff. But you know why a lot of Christians are not living the God kind of life? Because they're not in position to receive it. It's the truth. Go to John chapter 5 and verse 1. John chapter 5 and verse 1. Actually, Kim, I, for time's sake, go to just verse 14. John chapter 5 and verse 14, please. This is a story of Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda. There was a bunch of porches there at that pool, and there was a bunch of blind and sick and withered and people that couldn't walk and things. And a certain season, the angel would come down, stir up the water, and the first person that would get in the water would be healed. Well, Jesus encountered a man that we're going to look at in verse 14 that was sick for 38 years. 38 years of being stolen from, killed from, and robbed from. 38 years. And Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be made whole?" That's what Jesus said to him, didn't he? That's what he said. If you read that story, Jesus said, "Do you want to be made whole?" And the guy said, "I don't have anyone to put me in the pool. I try to get in the water and someone gets in before me and then I don't get it." Jesus said, "Take up your bed and walk." And the guy had faith. He had action with it. He got up, did what Jesus said to do, and he was healed. But here's what I want you to see. Look at verse 14. This is why your pastor's not afraid to be bold, because I love you so much. Amen. I don't mind telling you the truth. Afterward, Jesus finds him, who? The guy that was just healed in the temple, and said to him, "Behold, you're made whole." Praise God. Sin no more. Notice Jesus wasn't beating him up for his sin. Let me tell you something. Stop beating yourself up for your sin. I don't know about you, but I'm human. Are you human? Do you miss it ever? Do you know what God knows? He knows you're human. Doesn't give us license. But he knows, and the Bible says if we confess our sins in 1 John 1:9, he's faithful to forgive us. Got to give yourself a break. God gives you a break, you just take that break. Praise God. But Jesus said, "Sin no more, brother. But if you don't, lest a worse thing come upon you." What's he saying? He's saying, if you sin, which is what sin, any disobedience to what God says. It could be the written word. It could be the word spoken in your heart. Any type of sin steps you outside the boundaries and protection of God and puts you into where the Bible says if you don't sin, the wicked one can't touch you. But if you look at that reversed, if you do sin, guess who's got an opportunity in your life? Kim, I pull up Ephesians 4:27. I glanced and I saw Josh's pretty hair back there and I thought, man, oh man, maybe Josh is running the thing. And then, remember, he's on sound. Ephesians 4:27. He's able to have one of those fancy, nice haircuts. I can't because all my colics. I'm stuck with this. That's all you get. Don't get to have that fancy new haircut, you know, that everybody gets to have. My haircutter says, "Mike, don't do it." She says, "You don't have the hair for it." I said, "Fine, Sherry, I'll listen to you. You're the pro." Ephesians 4:27, look what it says. "Neither give place to the devil." What's the devil's place that he wants? To steal, kill, and destroy from you. Look what the Bible says. Don't you give him a place. Well, what did he say? If you sin not, what's sin? Disobedience to God. If you don't disobey God, the wicked one can't touch you. But if you step outside the boundaries of the word, that gives the devil license to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. Why? You stepped out of God's boundaries. See, we got to stop looking at the Word of God and the commands of God and the blessings of God as some grievous, hard thing. You know, the electric dog fence outside a person's property is not meant to hurt the dog. It's not meant to restrict the dog and make the dog's life miserable. It's to protect the animal. It's to keep the animal in an enclosure where the owner knows, I can keep you safe, I can keep you protected, I can keep you provided for. But if you go running out there, I can't help you. God's word is like the electric dog fence. He's not trying to box you in, not trying to make your life miserable. His commandments and his statutes, they're not hard and grievous. They're to keep you inside the blessing box. Because outside that box is where the wicked one can touch you. And I'm just telling you, you don't want that to happen. Whoo, you don't want that to happen. So in closing today, I want to show you how then going forward from here, if you've been stolen from and your finances and your body and your kids and your life, today's your answer. Amen. Jesus was born. And when he got old enough to talk, he told us something. He said, "I'm here to give you a change. I'm here to give you something different. You've only experienced what the devil gives you, but I'm here to do something different for you." Amen? Yeah. Here we go. 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 1. We're almost done. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but maybe some of you will get sick and tired of being sick and tired. 2020, blank canvas, what's it going to look like? It's going to depend on what you do. How your life turns out has more to do with you than it does God. He'll let you be broke. There are a lot of his children that he loves, gave Jesus for, that are broke as can be, and he'll let you be broke. You ever notice that? He'll let you be broke. He'll let you be sick. Doesn't want you to be sick, but he'll let you. He'll let you be depressed. He'll let you be full of anxiety. He'll let you be stressed out. He'll let you. But if you want something different, he says, here it is. If he will let his creation walk through the gates of hell into eternal damnation because they didn't do their part, come on. It's the truth. This garbage religion that's being taught, that God is a sovereign God and he can do whatever he wants, and que sera, sera, whatever will be, that gets Christians sitting on their hands doing nothing, and the devil comes right in and preys upon your ignorance. Yeah. It's the truth. I don't know what they're preaching to other churches on Christmas service, but I know what I'm preaching. Help and change and deliverance and a new way forward. It's the truth. 2 Peter 1 and verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Notice the grace and peace. You would like that in your life, wouldn't you? Grace and peace. It says it comes through the knowledge of God. Don't forget that. And of Jesus our Lord. Well, let's define that. What is the knowledge of God? The knowledge of God is his word. How do we find out who God is, what he wants for us, what he has for us? In his word. Amen. The knowledge of Jesus. Where do we find out about Jesus? Not a history book. Right. Not, it came from the word. Amen. And then it goes on to say in verse 3, according as his divine power, now notice this, hath, that's past tense. I told you I wasn't a math major, I'm not an English major either, but I know the word hath is past tense. Right. We're almost done, hold on here, stay with me. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. He says, I've already given it to you. What things? Things that pertain to life, that's natural, and godliness, which is spiritual. Remember, we talked about the blessing being twofold, a spiritual blessing and a natural blessing. God cares about your eternity, but God cares about you as his child on the earth. Amen. And he tells us here, I've already given you everything you need for life and godliness. And people would say, where is it then? If you already gave it, why am I sick? Why have I been sick for this long? Why is my finances this way? If this is a gift to me, why? Well, the unsaved person could say, if salvation is for the whole world, why aren't I saved? You will be once you do something. You walked around unsaved. Why aren't I saved? Why aren't I saved? You heard about Jesus. You had faith. You released your faith. You received Jesus. And guess what? You're in a different place spiritually now. This is your answer right here. It says, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now look at this. It comes through something. See, maybe you've not been on the receiving end of the through. Where's my healing? Where's my prosperity? Where's my deliverance? Where's my victory for my kids? Where's my promotion? Where's my favor? Where's this? Where's that? Fill in the blanks. It says that it comes through the knowledge of him. Where's the knowledge of him? This book. Amen. That has called us to glory and virtue. The first step out of getting stolen from, killed from, and destroyed from is knowledge of the word concerning what you're going through. Think about it for salvation. You were spiritually lost. You found out what the word said about being spiritually lost, how to get out of being spiritually lost. You did what the word says. You received it, and now you're different. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I always use Julie's example because it's such a good one of a Christian who was a certain way, loved the Lord. I'll just give you an example. Before she came here, a lot of people heard this testimony. Go ahead, wave your hand, Julie, so everybody knows who I'm talking about. When she came to the church, what, 2014, you came as a Christian. In a church, loved the Lord. Worship God. You loved him, didn't you? But when you came to the church, you had incurable respiratory problems. Steroids, medications, breathing treatments, missing tons of school. She's a teacher, missing school, can't pick up her own daughter. had an asthma attack so bad in school, you thought it was you were done for. Ambulance came and got you, didn't they? She's in church, loving Jesus. Her heart for Jesus is so pure. We know it. Y'all that know her, you know she loves the Lord. That's how she came into this place, though. Loving the Lord, sick as can be. Why is that? God, if you want healing, why is that? Why is that? She didn't have knowledge. But you know what old Pastor Mikey Grayhead at Anderson was speaking on when she came into my service? Over in the old sanctuary where you're going to go over there and pig out after? I was preaching a healing series. You know what her church never told her about? Healing in the Bible. Never preached it. Never told her. Well, the Bible says the things you need for life, healing you need, comes through the knowledge. You don't get the knowledge, you don't get the healing. So she hears a series, 4, 5, 6 week series, whatever it is. Her eyes are open. My goodness, I don't have to be sick anymore. Things can be different for me. And she received it. How many breathing treatments do you have now? How much asthma do you have now? How much steroids are you on now? None. Completely healed. And I could go to so-and-so's testimony and so-and-so's testimony and so-and-so's testimony. But there was a Christian who loved Jesus so much. And God will let you be sick. Why? Jesus said, if you don't know the truth, you won't be set free. And it's your job to know the truth. Ignorance is not bliss in the body of Christ. It will hurt you. Hosea 4:6 says you'll be destroyed because of it. And there was someone who just had a tender heart for the Lord, loved Jesus, worshipped Him, wanted to be in His presence, and was as sick as can be. And God was up there with compassion and love for her, just like He is His creation, saying, I can't do anything till you do your part. Amen. She gets knowledge, and what happens? It changes. So that's number one. Whatever you're going through, find out what the Word says. Amen? Amen. This is why, don't make me bang the drum on this. Give me about 5 more minutes, we'll be out of here. I can't believe it. This is a quick sermon, actually, for me. That darn video took up 10 minutes. I did. Do you see that first shot right in the back of her head? It was a good shot. One take. One take is all it took to nail it. And, yeah, it's true. Praise God. Some people don't even know they're in disobedience and opening themselves up to stealing, killing, and destroying. You want to know why? They're not in a position where they're hearing anything. Oh, I'm saved and I have my Jesus and I can just stay home and I never have to go to church and it's not that big of a deal. God loves me without going to church. You're darn right He does. But I'm going to tell you something. She didn't learn it at home by herself. Those of you that have come in here that have had your finances changed, you didn't learn that at home. Someone that knew more than you, that was anointed and spoke it into your life, the knowledge came and you changed. Same thing happened for me. Same thing. And we just think they're going to magically fall in our lap. Well, if God wants me healed, He'll heal me. No, that's not how it works. I know that's what you've been taught your whole life, but that's not how it works. The woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, the Bible says she was sick for 12 years, incurable blood condition. Jesus was in her town. Whole multitude of people around Jesus. She's weak, anemic, you know, and can't touch people because of the laws of a person that had a blood condition. She's not even allowed to touch people. And there's a big multitude around Jesus grabbing at Him and touching Him. And Jesus didn't stop, say, part the seas for this woman, or let's go to her house. No, He just kept walking, walking, and He thought, if she wants it bad enough, she'll do the right thing. And she didn't got it. We see that all over the Bible, where people did the right thing, and then they got it. Amen. Oh, I'll just, you know, I just healing if it's God's will. If it's God's will for me to be blessed, my money will change. Comes through knowledge. You better put yourself in a position to get some knowledge. Oh, I want my money changed. Okay, well, I just showed you how to get it changed. Get some knowledge first. Because knowledge is faith's mother. When you get knowledge, it births faith. And faith is how we receive from God. You can't get faith. You can't get faith that you need to change things sitting at home and doing it yourself. I didn't learn it on my own, and you certainly didn't learn it on your own, and you're not going to learn it on your own. It's funny, everything else in life, we don't look to somebody. We look to somebody that knows more. We don't treat ourselves physically. You ever given yourself open heart surgery? I didn't take my own appendix out. Reach in and get your kids' tonsils out. No, you go to somebody that knows more than you. Some of you might be handy with some tools, but the majority of people, you don't get underneath your car and change out the carburetor and work on the engine. You bring it to somebody that knows some things. Oh, I got a toothache. Let's pull out the old, remember when Tom Hanks in Castaway, he got the ice skate, had a tooth problem, bam, knock that thing out. No, you go someone that knows more than you. But when it comes to life things and spiritual things, I don't need a pastor. Just me and my Jesus and my Bible. Okay, you stay with you and your Jesus and your Bible, and you can stay in your sickness, you can stay in your poverty, you can stay in your lack, you can stay in your lack of supply, because it won't change until you get knowledge. And you need to get under something that has somebody that has some knowledge. That's why I banged the drum. You made me bang it, so I banged it. Right after I hit it good. Praise God. Number one is that, getting knowledge. Number two, and we'll close with this, Matthew 7. See, the problem is people don't even know what they're supposed to do because they don't have knowledge. And so when you're not doing it, where are you in the ground of? You're outside the boundaries of the Word because you don't know what the Word says to do. So you're living a certain way outside the boundaries of the Word, which God said, that's how the wicked one can get you. Sure is quiet on this Christmas service. What happened to Joy to the World? And Hark the Herald. Matthew 7, verse 24. Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine. Now notice this. Hearing them is part of it. What's the hearing part? Getting knowledge. Finding out, what does the Word say about that? I came into a church like this that taught the Word, and I thought, where's this been my whole life? I feel robbed. Yes. There were things I didn't need to experience in life that I didn't know about. Well, I got knowledge and changed those things. I came in addicted. I came in, I'm talking substance, gambling. I came in sick in body, sick in mind. I came in poverty. And the Word of God changed it all. Amen. Why? Because it's powerful, the Bible says, and it can change anything. Jesus said, they that hear the Word and do the Word, that's the second part. That's what we're looking at here. Got to get knowledge of it, then do it. He said, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, for it was founded upon a rock. Or fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Excuse me. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall. You want to know why it's a great fall? Because when you don't do the Word, what did Jesus say? You step out of the boundaries of God into the territory of the wicked one, and he can touch you, which is, how does he touch you? Stealing, killing, and destroying. Great fall. I've seen it. I've seen it. I've had to pick up the pieces in people's lives. I've seen it in my own life. Don't step over into that. And if you're starting to waddle around it, get out. You don't want the enemy involved in your life. I'm just pleading with you. It's so simple. You hear the Word. You do the Word. Abundant life is yours. It's that simple. Everything comes down to this. Find out what the Word says. Do what the Word says. Walk into abundant life. Devil can't touch you. It's just the truth. But unfortunately, people that complain about stuff, I just would wish that would go away in my body. I wish my money would get different. I wish my kids would this. I wish this and that. Just keep wishing and a wishing and a wishing and a wishing and a wishing. The true change comes with the abundant life that Jesus offered us at the manger by coming to this world. He said, I've come to give you a new way of living, a new way of life. Amen. Amen. It's the truth. Praise God. And if you need help with it, my goodness, I am here for you. I love helping people. I can't stand watching what the devil does to people. And I'm telling you, if you're going to say, okay, Pastor Mike, I've been sick for forever. I've been depressed for forever. I've been worried and anxious and fearful. My finances are a mess. I will tell you how to get out of that mess. Amen. And then it's up to you to do. But you can get out of it. Amen. Let me tell you something. We're going to have Christmas service 2020. And we're going to be thinking back to Christmas service 2019. Is anything different? Oh, your life could be so different by 2020. December 2020. You have no idea how fast God can move and change things and work. So I encourage you, don't let this go in and out. Make adjustments. It's Christmas season. Make tweaks. There's better for you. Abundant life. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word today. Love you, Jesus, so much. We're just so grateful for the word. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the word. So when he came and says, I've come to give you life, he says, through the word, this is how you're going to get it. Through the word, through the word, through the word. Don't walk away from the word. Get under the word. Don't walk away from it and get under it. Praise God. We thank you, Lord. Now, if I could ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes before we go forward here. Please, no looking around. I'm not trying to be bossy or, you know, it's just for people's comfort and people to feel not self-conscious. So heads bowed and eyes closed. Abundant life, that's what we want. He offered it to us. He's good to us. He's a good father. I want my kids to go to heaven, but I also want my kids healthy. I also want my kids well. I want my kids blessed. God's a better father than I. He wants that for you. But the greatest thing, ladies and gentlemen, that God offered you was salvation and eternal life. It was the best present ever. And I'm here to tell you with heads bowed and eyes closed, first of all, be assured I'm not going to embarrass you today. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to have you stand up and say anything. I'm not going to have you, the eyes are closed is what I'm saying. Heads are bowed. Nobody's going to know we're talking about you today. But if you want to receive Jesus, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know 100% without a shadow of a doubt the answer is yes, I would go to heaven. So how can you know that, Pastor Mike? How could you be sure? Because I did what God said to do to get there. Say, well, what does it take to get there? Is it church attendance? I haven't been very good at going to church. No, it has nothing to do with it. Well, I've had some wrongdoing in my life. No, that didn't have anything to do with it. How do we know? Well, when Jesus died on the cross, there was a criminal next to him, and he was dying because he was a bad person. And he believed in Jesus, and Jesus said, you're in. He didn't say, you didn't go to church enough. You're a bad person. No, Jesus is merciful, and God's merciful. And if you call on his name, you'll be saved. So if you're here this morning and you can say, Pastor Mike, I'm not 100% sure that I would go to heaven. I want to go to heaven, but I don't know. My goodness, get off the fence of eternity and get onto the right side. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to become a member of this church. In fact, to go to heaven, you never have to step through these doors ever again. Now, if you're looking for a good word church to teach you the things of God, to walk into them, we'll preach the Bible here. I'll tell you that much. But when it comes to eternity, it's about you making a commitment to Jesus. And I told you I won't embarrass you. I won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and know that you know that you know that you have received the first part of the abundant life, which is eternity, it's so simple. Your heart is telling you, that's you, that's you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If anybody wants to receive Jesus in this service for the first time, again, you're not making a commitment to me, to the church. You're just acknowledging, I believe and I receive you, Jesus. Anybody want to receive Jesus, lift your hand high in the air and I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody at all, just lift your hand up in the air. Don't let this, I see that hand, you can put it down. Anybody else, we're not going to embarrass you. I see that hand, you can put it down. I see that hand, you can put it down. Anybody else want to receive Jesus this morning? You've never done it before. I see that hand, you can put it down. Anybody else want to receive the Lord this morning before we close the service? Again, I'm not embarrassing anybody. Now, if you've already done this and you've had a bad week, bad month, bad year, just repent. He doesn't take it away from you. But is there anybody else before we close? You say, I want to get included in this, Pastor Mike. I've already proven to you I won't embarrass you. Lift your hand high in the air if you want to receive Jesus this morning for the very first time. Anybody else before we close the service want to receive the Lord? Father, we had a few hands, and there might be some hands that didn't go up. Maybe people are shy and didn't want to raise their hands, but it's not the raising of the hand that gets people saved. And Father, there may be people listening online right now that need to receive Jesus, or in the future that are listening by the archive that never received Jesus. It's not about the hand raise. It's about the commitment of the heart. So those people that raised their hands, and those people that should have, but maybe you didn't, or those people listening online now or in the future, it's very simple to receive Jesus. It's a one-time thing. If you call on his name, you'll be saved. And so those people that raised your hand, and those people that should have, or I can't see online or in the future, along with everybody, we're going to pray a prayer inviting the Lord into our life. And the context of this prayer is just going to be you're declaring your belief in Him and you're asking Him to come into your heart. That's how simple it is. Believe and receive. So those people that raised their hands, those that should have, those that I can't see online, along with the rest of the church, go ahead and say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross for my sin, and I believe that You rose from the dead, and I ask You to come into my heart. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look up here. If you prayed that for the very first time, just know this, that life's going to be different for you. And I encourage you now to get into a Bible teaching church where you're hearing the Word. It doesn't have to be this one, but find one that's teaching the Bible. Do the Word and watch what God's going to do for you. Amen. At this time, we're going to take up communion as to finish off our Christmas service, a way to celebrate what the Lord's doing. You guys, go ahead, brothers, come forward. Josh, we'll go ahead and put that song in that we usually put on there. And this is a time of worship, time of reverence. Thank you so much. And I just encourage you, kids, adults, to be in worship, to be in reverence towards Him. And let's just think about what Jesus has done for us this morning. Hallelujah. You've done. It was not, you were not forced to come here. You humbled yourself, the Bible says. You left the throne of heaven, became a vulnerable baby boy. You did that for me, you did that for everyone in here. Lord, we are so grateful. We do not take it for granted this morning. What You have done for us, how could we ever thank You enough? Eternal life, abundant life, the life of God. Jesus, You are our answer. You are our hope. You are our help. And Lord, I think about my life and what a mess I was before You. Shouldn't even be alive. Should be on the spiritual junk heap, rotting away. But You stepped in with Your love and Your mercy and Your kindness. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Worship Your name. Bless Your name. Glorify Your name. Thank You, Lord, for all that You've done, for all that You've given to us. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for coming. Thank You for coming. Praise You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. First Corinthians chapter 11. Paul writing, he says in verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night, in which He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Let's go ahead and break the bread, and let's go ahead and eat. Lord, we're just so thankful that the bread represents Your body that was broken for us. For the stripes that were laid on You, the Word says we can walk into divine healing. Thank You for the price that You paid so we wouldn't have to. Glory to God. Verse 25 says, "After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes." Let's go ahead and drink. Lord, we thank You that the juice represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for us for the remission of our sins, to wash us clean. as white as snow. Lord, you did it for us on your own behalf. Thank you so much, Jesus. We worship you. Let's just thank him together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Father, thank you for this Christmas season. We thank you for what it represents, what was offered to us through Jesus, through the Word of God. Father, it's my prayer for each and every person here this morning that they would take you up on your offer for abundant life and that they would go through the steps and go through the doors to see their life change. Jesus paid a high price for it. And Father, as we get ready to fellowship together and enjoy food and meal together, Father, I thank you the food's blessed to our body. You bless our bread and water and take sickness away from our midst, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll bless the hands that prepared it, those that made things, those that sacrificed and bought things and supplies. And Lord, take time to set things up. Father, bless them that they would be able to receive a blessing for blessing us. And Father, we give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you rush out of here, a couple things. We need all the kids that want to come up here and get in line. Also, we're going to pass the cups to the end of the aisle. And don't forget the fudge is out on the table on the right. Go ahead and take one pack. Unicorn for kids, pumpkin pie for adults. Love and appreciate you. Have a Merry Christmas. You're dismissed.
From heaven to a manger, the hope of the world tonight for all mankind. All of the earth rejoice, it's Christmas time. So to all the earth and peace divine. All of the earth rejoice, it's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. So lift up your voice and sing out his praise. It's Christmas, all is the King rejoice in the day. It's Christmas, make a joyful sound. It's Christmas, let his praise.
joy to the world.